Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. He is the master man on the other side of the glass, Mr. Rob Center, doing a fabulous job, taking great care of us, keeping us up to date with the Phillies, just doing super lately. And he's got his Phillies shirt on, so that'll bring the team even more good luck, we're hoping. We think that's the... He's never... any Phillies fan is always worries about any jinx that we could do. I hope they don't trace a losing streak back to the Eagle 107 studio or something like that. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. Do as I've done. Go to aisleseat.com on a regular basis to find out what you're going to watch on at the movies or streaming. He's a staff writer for Ranker and a member of the Critics' Choice Association and Online Film Critics Society. Follow him on Twitter at aisleseat. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg. We are going to start out with a movie that doesn't even have a good trailer. That's Lawrence's worthless opinion. Jurassic World Dominion. What did you think, Mike?
Jurassic World Dominion brings the popular franchise to a close with a resounding thud. New stars Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard team up with original stars Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum. They try to infiltrate the headquarters of a scientific company to rescue a little girl who's a human clone, and also to prevent the company from continuing to unleash a mutated locust in an effort to control the world's food supply. If you're thinking, wait a minute, isn't this supposed to be about dinosaurs? The answer is yes. Yes, it is. There are dinosaurs here, but they're nothing more than an afterthought. One wanders through occasionally to pointlessly wreak havoc, although those scenes are surprisingly lacking in suspense. There's none of the tension we got in Jurassic Park when the T-Rex first arrived, or when the Velociraptors trapped those kids in the kitchen. Instead, we get a lot of dull scenes in which characters try to access the restricted parts of a scientific facility. Jurassic World Dominion is long, loud, and completely lacking in fun. After sitting through this sorry sequel, I'm ready for the whole franchise to go the way of the real dinosaurs. It's a Bombosaurus. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 Triceratops.
A Bombosaurus.
A Bombosaurus, yes. If it was funny. A dinosaur, that's what this movie would be named.
Nothing to do with President Obama, of course, but... okay. You also noted that it's loud. Tell me about this.
It's just one of those movies. The sound mix is cranked up so high, you know, and it's just, this movie is kind of bombastic in a way. It's just loud, and it's 2.5 hours long, which is way too long for such a thin story. And it's just really unpleasant to sit through. The original Jurassic Park is a classic. I think the two sequels after that were, you know, mediocre to poor. I like the reboot Jurassic World, but then these last two, Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom, and now Dominion, are terrible. So really, there's been one great movie, one good movie, and four lousy movies in this franchise, as far as I'm concerned.
And it's a moneymaker. They'll stay in the black despite, you know, being average reviews?
This weekend will be the test, you know, because it opened big, of course, which it was going to. People want to go out and see it. But this weekend will determine whether or not they liked it. I have a feeling this movie's going to sink pretty quickly. You know, it's bad. Okay. It's not very good, and it certainly does not deliver the things that I think most people go to a Jurassic Park or a Jurassic World movie expecting to see.
Well, it's funny. The trailer has, like, bits and pieces of what appear to be like four different movies in it. And I thought maybe my Chrome window flipped to the next YouTube, you know, like I turned my attention away and it starts the next YouTube. But when you gave me the trailer link, I thought, isn't that funny how it switched back and forth? Okay, so, but that's consistent with the movie. It's just not glued together as well as it could be. If you had to say something positive about it, I mean, where are we? Good acting? It didn't appear as though it was poorly acted, per se.
Well, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard in this Jurassic World section, they've been saddled with dull characters. The only thing I really liked about the movie is that you get Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum together, and they're all fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're the only thing in this movie that has any kind of life to it. We go to these movies expecting to see dinosaurs, and this movie hardly gives us any. At least we get those three original stars being appealing on screen again together and you know, kind of reminding us what we loved about the original. But that's the only thing in this movie that I found moderately tolerable.
All right, let's move on then. You gave it 1.5...
Triceratops.
Triceratops. Okay. Sounds like a carnivore to me. Is it? Do you happen to remember?
I'm really bad with my dinosaurs.
When you have a kid, you should remember that. You have kids or kid. Okay.
For some reason, I think it's a... I think it eats plants.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I think you could be right. Anyway, moving on. Halftime, new movie that's out. Tell us about that.
This is on Netflix, debuted on Netflix this week, and it's a documentary about Jennifer Lopez, and it captures her at a very interesting point in her career. She has just had her movie Hustlers released, and there's a lot of Oscar buzz for her, and at the same time, she's been asked to perform the halftime show at the Super Bowl, and the documentary follows her during this really crazy time as she prepares this Super Bowl show and faces a lot of hurdles in terms of what the NFL demands that she do and not do. And then, of course, there's the build-up with Hustlers. She famously did not get an Oscar nomination despite getting nominated by literally just about every other awards body. So it's just an interesting film about her career. And the big takeaway for me in this was that she's very confident but also very insecure. She has a great deal of faith and confidence in her vision and her talent. But as a Latina woman in the entertainment industry, she's also been put down a lot. The media has focused more on her love life and her talent. She's been nominated for Razzie Awards that have made her doubt her acting ability. So this movie really looks at a critical point in her career where she's trying to embrace her confidence and let go of some of her insecurity. So I found Halftime really interesting. Of course, it was produced by her team, so there's nothing in here she doesn't want you to see. It might have been a little grittier with an outside director, but it's worth seeing for Jennifer Lopez fans, and I am one. So 3 stars for Halftime. That's streaming on Netflix now.
Yeah, me too. And I always really shy away from some of the negative coverage that you get. People really like to hype or scrutinize the minutiae of her life or some, you know, error or mistake or something that's not reviewed well. Mm-hmm. I really shy away from that, and a big J-Lo fan, so I'll definitely check this out as well. Halftime on Netflix. Good luck to you, Leo Grand.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
This movie came out of the Sundance Film Festival. It was purchased by Searchlight Pictures, and they're, instead of going to theaters, they're dropping it today on Hulu. And it's basically a two-character film. Emma Thompson gives one of the best performances of her career, which I'll get back to in a second. She plays a woman who's been widowed for 2 years. She's lived a very, you know, quiet, contained life, and she's lonely, so she decides that she's going to hire a male escort, played by Daryl McCormack. And the movie traces 3 sessions that they have together. And she starts off being very anxious about this decision to be with a male escort and to experience pleasure, and she hates her body. And over these 3 meetings, she forms a bond with this guy that's kind of interesting and changes how she feels about herself. But what's interesting here, Emma Thompson, for the first time in her career, does a nude scene. And she's completely nude. And I say that not to be salacious, but because her performance is one of the most brave things I've ever seen in a movie. She plays a woman who's middle-aged, she's in her late 50s, has no self-confidence, and has to learn to love her body as it is, and to accept herself, you know, as a person who wants pleasure. Yeah, as she is. So she does
wants
phenomenal.
Wants to live life.
Wants to live life, right. So it's a really great performance in this film. Great chemistry with Daryl McCormack. And again, one of her best performances and a very brave and fearless performances. The movie's a little repetitive in playing the character's neuroses and things like that. But I think it's worth seeing. So 3 stars. It's called Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. And it debuts today on Hulu.
On Hulu. Okay. So if you have that, good for you. Okay. And Cha-Cha Real Smooth. I saw the trailer. I wouldn't say I'd be able to tell you what it's about. Maybe you can help us.
Yeah, you may remember I was raving about this movie back in January. It won the Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival, and I was a big fan of it. And today is the day the rest of the country can see it. It debuts in limited theatrical release, but on Apple TV+. Cooper Rafe, a young guy who wrote, directed, and stars in the movie, he plays a young guy who's just out of college and kind of aimless, can't get a good job, and he starts up a business helping people at parties to be kind of like the party master. And he meets a single woman played by Dakota Johnson with an autistic child, and he forms a bond with her, and they get very close. And whatever you think is going to happen next is not necessarily what happens. This is a really smart and funny and touching film about two people in different places in their lives who form a connection with each other and help each other grow. And I really loved it. It's one of those movies that makes you laugh, but at the end of it, you feel really good and really uplifted. lifted. So it's called Cha-Cha Real Smooth, debuts today on Apple TV+. 3.5 stars for that. One of my favorite movies of this year.
Yeah, it must have a surprise ending or sort of evolution that you don't expect, because the trailer only talks about the first half hour of the movie. It doesn't really look at the whole rest of the film or what might happen or, you know, give you some clue where it's headed. You can see that they're becoming friends, but beyond that, they don't say. So, all right.
Yeah, it's one of those great human stories. You okay. See it, and these characters feel like real people.
All right, and Apple TV Plus will be the place to see it at mm-hmm. home, and of course, limited theaters. Do we know if AMC's going to have it around here?
They don't have it. Closest theater that has it is the Midtown in Harrisburg.
Oh, okay. So, all right, and you're following that. All right, we appreciate that. The death of Philip Baker Hall. Mm-hmm. Boy, totally under the radar for a lot of folks this week.
Great character actor. Made his debut playing Richard Nixon in Robert Altman's Secret Honor. Went on to be in Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia and Heart 8. The thing he's probably most well known for is playing the character Bookman, who was a cop on an episode of Seinfeld that was very famous. But he did all kinds of movies. He was in Say Anything, Ghostbusters 2, made films across the spectrum, and was just one of those always reliable character actors. Whenever he came on screen, he did something incredible.
I think he had a recurring role in Seinfeld. I think as the library police, he would come back in various episodes. Yeah, if you didn't take the library seriously, you were... You were in trouble. So, okay, so Philip Baker Hall died. And Lady Gaga, tell us about the conversation that involves her now.
They're making a sequel to Joker, the movie that Joaquin Phoenix won an Oscar for a few years ago, and Lady Gaga is in talks to co-star playing Harley Quinn, which could be interesting because Margot Robbie has really owned that character over the last 6 or 7 years. If anybody could come close to doing what she's doing, I think it would be Lady Gaga. So we'll see whether she actually signs on the dotted line. But as of now, she's in talks to play Harley Quinn in Joker 2.
Why don't we just get the real Harley Quinn? Why can't the other actors do that?
Well, the movies are not connected. They don't take place in the same cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. These comic book movies get so needlessly complicated.
I would have never come up with that answer. Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
I'd rather see her play the Joker, though, to be honest with you. I think that'd be interesting. Get rid of Joaquin Phoenix. So I'm in the minority. I didn't think he was very good in the first Joker.
Well, yeah, and every time you see Lady Gaga acting, you know you're just scratching the surface and that she's got a lot mm-hmm. more in her to
yeah.
see.
And I'd love to see her take on Joker.
I like that idea. Maybe we'll lobby for that. You send a letter. You know a lot of people out in the West Coast. You tell them that. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Do as I do. I do. Check out that website anytime you're going to see something on streaming or in the theater. And his appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg.